You know, there is many times when you have to consider the inevitable nature of our lives. For some, this may be quite reactive. And if you're not in the place for this type of conversation today, talking about how we change over time through either the inability of our bodies to maintain their integrity as they change, through tragic circumstances, through illness, and obviously death. Then I need you to take care of yourself, and please feel free to leave. I don't want anyone sitting here out of courtesy or any other reason other than the fact that they are able to have this conversation now. That includes everybody out there. If at any point in time during the course of this conversation it's just too much, please, at that point, please get up and leave. Are we clear? Good. We're going to do an exercise right now. And I need everyone to participate in their own way. It's 10 years down the road, and you are not who you are right now. And how does that look? And how do you feel? Are you in there? Do you see everything going on around you and you have no way to communicate that? And how frustrating that is? Everyone that you love trying desperately to understand what you want? You desperately wanting to communicate what you need, to no avail. No avail. You're not able to think about what's going on because for whatever reason, your disability is now so complete that you have separated from yourself. And the people around you, you do not recognize. But they seem so earnest that you smile and you say thank you, and of course I know who you are. But you don't. And how does that feel for them? It's 10 years down the road, and you're no longer here. And however you believe about the afterlife is whatever you believe about the afterlife. There's no rights. There's no wrongs. I will try my best not to have atheist, how did you put it?
Snobbery.
Thank you for that, Willie. It was very grounding. And the people in your life, the people that you love, the people that you love but you weren't able to communicate for some reason in those last few years, that you didn't want to communicate with in those last few years, for whatever reason, your children, your ex-wives, your ex-husbands, your old friends that for whatever reason you separated from? Is there regret? You know, guess it doesn't matter anymore because now you're dead. That time has come and gone. We think in linear time. That's just how we're built. It's our default. There's flaws to our thought process. We can become so wrapped up in our own axle of petty thought that sometimes we might forget the big picture. We might think, hey, I'm 30. I don't have to worry about this for decades. Unless, of course, you're wrong. You're 60. You're 65. You think, hey, I'm in great health. This conversation's not for me. I don't have to worry about it. Until you do. I don't know about you, but when I need to get from A to B, I reverse engineer things. It's going to take me on a Friday night from here to Fontana probably 4 hours at 5 p.m. What freeways am I going to take? How much electricity am I going to need to get from there to there in my Tesla? And then I plan accordingly. How many of you do that? Yeah. Makes sense, right? Yeah. And yet, we never know when we're going to be shown the door and have our ticket punched. Right? And yet we do not reverse engineer that for the most part. By the way, I did want to say something earlier that I forgot to. What I'm saying up here is not the truth. It's my particular reflections and perceptions. Doesn't mean I'm right. I don't want to be right. I don't. There's no glory in that. But I do want to be part of the way station as you consider things about how to take a look at life right now. Kusala last week had talked to us about the fact that fear emanates from us not thinking about things and not understanding things until they're on top of us. Man's got to know his weaknesses. Amen. Amen. So, hey, you know, I'm a crier. I admit it. It was 16 years ago this Christmas my father died. We got a call about 2.5 weeks before his death from my mom that my father could not get off the floor. He was right next to the bed, and he was on all fours with his arms down, his head in the rug, and his knees, and around him was the deposits of what he needed to do and why he was originally getting out of bed. And she's like, I can't get him up. Please come and help. So I didn't live too far away, as did my brother, and we both ran over there. And we picked him up off the floor. We cleaned him up. We sat him down. We said, what's up? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I was getting out of bed to go to the bathroom, and I just crumpled. Okay. Well, we're going to take you to the hospital right now. Have you looked at? See what's going on. We got him down the flight of stairs because he was, of course, on the second floor. And we got him to the hospital over at Los Robles. And they took a look at him. And they admitted him. For my father, who we found out later was aware of the fact that he had a very rare cancer, something blastomic, whatever. Doesn't matter. And that he was riddled by it. And what had occurred was is that even though they had been testing him based on all the drugs that he had been having every month, that the cancer had not broken through the bones until it broke through the bones. And at that point, the integrity of his structure was shot. So they went to immediate hospice in the hospital. The look of fear in my father's eyes is hard to explain. At least I think it was fear, because he was so doped up on morphine that it was hard to have a conversation with him of any kind of meaning, much less understanding if he was understanding. We didn't know anything about his wishes. Zero. Everything was being done on the fly. We were told maybe he had 4 weeks. Well, they were wrong. It was two. It passed at 3 a.m. in the morning. I had two of my brothers there on site. We were taking turns doing the overnights. And he was gone. He was gone. He was gone. It fell to me to figure things out, as I'm the eldest. Trying to work with my mom, listen to my brothers. I gotta tell you though, I was just checked out. Checked out. Operating on I don't even know what. Angry. Sad. Remorseful. guilty. Oh my God, the list is endless. And the reason for this talk today is I don't want anyone within the realm of my community who I love so greatly to ever have to deal with this. Fear comes from the unknown. From the unknown. When you are in a position where you are not able to communicate, do you have an advocate? Is everyone aware of who the advocate is in your family? Is everyone aware of your wishes? Have you had a conversation about any of this? I mean a real conversation.
Yes.
Good. Good. No, absolutely. Good. Because here's the thing that you need to consider. And that is that let's say you don't die. Let's say it's just organic memory failure. You know, you become absolutely decimated mentally. And you have to, you're not able to live alone. And now it's a question of where do you put mom or dad or mom and dad or mom and mom or dad? Where do you put them? Excellent. Pardon me?
It's not just them you have to bring back, but yourself.
Yes.
Where do you want to go?
Yes, but here's the thing about that. And that is that for them, the roles reverse. And now they're worried about your safety. You know, you need a walker. You need a wheelchair. You need supervision. And in a moment, your freedom is gone. Not because of any animosity, but because of love. Love. And this is where those conversations are so very, very important. In the reading that I've been doing, one of the things that really affects people is when they're taken out of their home and they're placed in another home. That's beautiful. You walk in. I mean, my God, it looks like, I don't know, some extravagant resort. Who wouldn't want to live there? Right? So, have you made that clear? Have you made that clear? Use the money for somebody to stay with me during the course of whatever is going on for however long it's going on at the house. Do you have a DNR? Do you have an executor for all the different aspects of your life, from your finances to your medical or any other matter that you could possibly think of? Are your things in trust, or are you just relying on a will? Is there a pour-over part of the trust, a pour-over part of the will? There's so many different tiny aspects to consider. It's a very unpleasant topic. It's a very awkward topic at best. It's one that brings a lot of fear of the unknown. What happens when I open up this can of worms? Will my kids be upset about this or that as far as my wishes are concerned? It's not a one-time, one-off conversation, my friends. It's something that needs to be built. You can't do it in hours. You can't do it in 2 weeks under morphine. Because now you're just throwing stuff against the wall. And you're making decisions that you're later going to second guess. People in your life that you've stopped talking to for whatever reason. Is that really how you want to leave it? I mean, really? There's the future. There's the future. You've got to love children because children don't worry about necessarily things long term. They worry about the now. He's talking too much. I have to go to the bathroom. And so he goes. But that's the joy of the child, the child's mind. Wow. I'm envious. He's trying to make sure he's got the tone right. It's been, dare I say, fortuitous for us to have the time together that we've had to be able to discuss these things. Because right now, of all the times in our world, you don't necessarily know what's going to happen tomorrow. Any of us could disappear. Any of us. I'll close on the final comment that I have, which is a quote from Woody Allen. It says, "I don't mind death. I just don't want to be there when it happens." Oh. So, one of the things that happened after my father's death is I went out and I did my estate planning. Neptune Society. Trust. Will. Note to my brother. Says, "Luke, hey dude, please know I love you. Thanks for being there in my life. You're the man." As well as the DNR, which says that keep anything with a collar away from me. Because I'm a snob. And the only person that should be anywhere near me is the minister of chalice. Period. Or, no, minister of chalice, or if I'm not anywhere close by, the minister of a Unitarian Universalist congregation.